back to Real Estate New. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Scott. How are you today?
Well, when you come to town, life's better. So I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here because I love West Texas, being a West Texas girl.
You are always a West Texas girl.
I am.
You were born, like from
Leveland.
Yeah.
Born and raised up around Amarillo.
The panhandle.
Right. Yeah. I always tell people, you know, I was raised under a mattress. And they go like, what? And I go, well, I was raised in the panhandle. So because of all of the
snow.
Yeah. Tornadoes. Things come
through.
Have
you actually seen a tornado?
Yeah, I actually have. Been through a couple of those. And hurricanes, too. So we don't want to really talk about that depressing stuff this morning, though, do we?
No, we don't. We don't. But you know what? Somebody asked me, and I want to make sure I didn't tell them something wrong. I always want to tell the truth. Your history. You tell them a little bit your history. You were an agent, a top agent for a long, long time. And then you went into management.
I did.
And how many agents have you actually managed?
The most I've managed was 65 in an office, yeah.
Okay.
And that was a great office. It was in the Metroplex.
Okay.
And we were in the top 10 in the world out of 6,600 offices in closed transactions. So we were a busy office.
The top 10 in the world?
Yeah.
With 65 agents?
Yeah, and got to go and walk across the stage and you go like, please don't let me fall down as you go get your award. It was just really exciting. So exciting times, yeah. I'm glad to be with you and come up to your company. It is so much fun. We had a lot of fun this morning at the sales meeting. What did you think?
We did. Had some good food and got to visit and get ask people to be accountable. Accountable is always a big thing in a real estate world.
Yes, it is. Not enough accountability. But I love the market. So right now, what I'd like for you to tell our listeners is just exactly how hot the market is right now.
You know, and they heard me talk about the last quarter of last year, how it wasn't so hot.
Right.
And what a difference we used to say location, location, location. And now it is still location, but it is what? Timing. And folks, has it changed? I will tell you, 2 weeks ago, on Tuesdays, we do what we call our office meetings, and then we do home tour. From office meetings, we go to home tour. We tour our new listings.
Right.
We toured several houses, well, four of them. That Tuesday, we toured four houses. By that Friday, all four houses were under contract.
Wow.
Do you call that hot market? I want to use maybe that term. Would you call that a pretty darn good market, isn't it?
Good market. I think that also for our listeners tell us a lot of things if they're thinking about selling is pricing. How important it was to get it priced and staged so that it was really looking well, so that it showed well, priced well, and you got offers and ultimately contracts. And that is exciting in that few days. And I bet the sellers were going like, wow, that is amazing.
Well, it is. In fact, what you just said, though, is a lot of people, I'm going to say what I call pent-up demand, is because a lot of things didn't happen in the last quarter. There was a lot of buyers, and I say pent-up demand, they were waiting. They're smart buyers, too.
Right.
They were watching. They knew exactly what they wanted. They also know what should be priced correctly. And if it's priced correctly, when they saw it, they knew what to offer. They didn't lowball these houses. They came in real close to full price. Actually, two of those were over full price.
Right.
And the seller said, did I price it wrong? We said, no, you priced it correctly. And let me show you why. They knew what the market was.
Right.
They knew when that house hit the market. They were waiting for it. That's why they jumped on it. In fact, one was the very first person who showed it. They bought it. They'd been waiting for that house. They knew what they wanted.
Right.
So it hit the market.
Well, and I think a couple of things, too, is those buyers are getting so smart in the fact that they are working with realtors and letting realtors represent them and getting with lenders. So they're ready to go. They're pre-approved. And when they submit an offer, they can do that pre-approval and that makes theirs just the best offer ever. Do you agree with that?
Well, in fact, I really don't even want to present an offer without a pre-approval letter.
Right.
I mean, there's no point in it. I mean, most sellers too are now, we have educated people because of the internet and because we have good realtors and we do have good agents.
Right.
Most people, I don't want to show a person without representing him. I don't want the liability. And really, most buyers are pretty smart now. They don't want somebody to go out and not represent them.
Yeah, and we talked about that before. It's so exciting in our laws with Texas is that we can have representation for sellers, representation for buyers, and that way everybody has their own agent working for them to give them guidance and counsel. I love that. Don't you agree?
Well, Pat, yeah, but we were talking earlier. In fact, you just sat through a lot of meetings at Trek and different things. With what's coming out with the new contracts and stuff, wouldn't it just scare the bejesus out of you not to have somebody on top of it that knows what they're talking about?
It would frighten me, having been licensed since 1980. But prior to that, I actually thought about being a for sale by owner before I knew what it entailed to do a transaction and all of the paperwork and all the legal documents that we have to sign, et cetera. And it would scare me for a couple of reasons. Now is safety. I know in this area, we don't worry. I mean, I grew up in West Texas. We didn't lock our doors. We didn't lock the cars. And now safety is an issue. So when I talk to the agents about visiting with for sale by owners or sellers who are thinking about going that route, it's like the number one thing is your safety. And then the second thing behind that is all of the paperwork and all of the legal documents that many people don't know about. So I think that's one of the things that you sellers that are listening out there need to know is we have so many steps that we do, and we actually have a written, I know at your office, you have a written value package of all the steps that it takes. And gosh, some of them are as many as 182 steps, if you can believe, that a realtor does in a transaction. That's a lot of paperwork.
It was funny. I was telling some of our newbies, and they were looking at it, and they said, yeah, did you really, Scott, in the old days, you know, and I said, no, it was not on a rock tablet. It was actually on paper, but it was actually two pages. Well, really one at one time. You know, and most of it was blank on one side.
Right.
And in our special revisions, and Pat, yeah, she taught me a lot of classes. She taught a lot of us a lot of classes. But special revisions is really not even used anymore. Yeah, it shouldn't be. It's all addendums. And that's how much it's changed. In fact, how many new addendums are coming out right now?
Oh, wow. I'd have to think back. But I know there's probably about nine that just of things that have come up because realtors don't want to practice law. And it's real easy to fall in that trap if you start writing in special provisions. So there seems like we have an addendum for everything.
Well, and when it's a big deal. Is let's say we have a house. It's a good example. I have a house listed for $200,000, and you bring me an offer for $200,000, and you put down $40,000.
Right.
And it doesn't appraise.
Right.
What happens?
You are in trouble would be a good thing. And that's one of the things that comes up in the classroom all the time because we're right now, there is no phrase or any kind of paragraph that addresses that in the contract or the third-party financing addendum. And that's one of the new addenda that the commission has come up with to propose called an appraisal financing addendum so that we actually can let sellers and buyers have choices to say, okay, you're putting down more than 20%. How would you feel if the property didn't appraise? What do you want to do? And then they can check the box. That way it helps the consumer and it takes the monkey off of our back so we don't practice law.